GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. It's been a while since we talked with Paul McCarrier of Legalize Maine, even as lawmakers in Augusta spent a lot of time talking about the legalization of marijuana and how to implement it in our state. Gee, it's a chance for a catch-up and an update from Paul McCarrier. He's eyeing this thing closer than anybody. He's right on line three to talk with us this morning, dialing in from beautiful Waldo County.
Yeah, how old are you now? I know you had a birthday.
I did. You know, I'm 32 years old, and it's been quite a ride with this whole medical and adult use cannabis industry here in the state of Maine over the past 8 years.
Last we knew, they were trying to find the rules so we could legally have clubs or legally sell it, tax it, regulate it.
So I just want to clarify something. This law, 1719, that's going to be before the House of Representatives as soon as today, does nothing to involve the rules or applications. This is merely trying to rewrite the law to make it different than what the citizens passed. And, excuse me, and that this has nothing to do with actually implementing the law or making sure that we have applications ready to go out and try to get this industry up and running. One of the biggest concerns that we have is that it allows an unlimited number of commercial cultivations here in the state of Maine, which, according to us and others across the country, is really a big setup for big tobacco to come in, which is a big concern of people who voted against this measure and has always been a concern of Legalize Maine.
Yeah, 1719 is a long, long, long thing. It's got all kind of new language to it. As a matter of fact, I usually don't mind reading bills, but I don't have a week to read this one. Who put this one in?
So this is the committee bill of the Marijuana Legalization Implementation Committee. And so this is something that is basically the same measure as 1650, the bill that was vetoed last fall during a special session and sustained in the House of Representatives. They have done a few modifications, including preventing the department from limiting any number of license, increasing the excise tax to a point where it could be almost 60% of the cost of production and regulations, reducing the number of plants that people can personally grow, and moving the administration of the medical program from the Department of Health and Human Services to the Department of Administration and Financial Services.
Paul, when you guys campaigned to legalize marijuana, I know there was some talk of it, but I don't see anything on the question, or I don't recall anything on the question that said that big tobacco or an out-of-state company couldn't come in and take part. And you just said a moment ago, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but you may not want to see big tobacco come in. But at least big tobacco has the experience in selling a controlled substance. I'll call tobacco a controlled substance, a regulated substance. And they have the experience already in how best to tax it and regulate it and sell it. What's wrong with big tobacco coming in and lending its expertise in trying to bring to market what you and supporters wanted brought to market?
Well, let's look at the history of big tobacco. Does anyone think that big tobacco has been a responsible corporate citizen over the past century, with the number of people that have become addicted to smoking, the marketing towards children? When you look at these new tobacco the products that are coming up that are flavored with like sour apple and grape, these large companies are specifically made to market towards our youth, towards the people that we're trying to protect. And we don't believe that they should be the ones to try to come in here and take this industry over. With big tobacco, that we cannot hold them socially accountable. I think we've seen that time and again. You can try to charge them and fine them all sorts of money, but at the end of the day, it's not like your local grocery store owner or your local farmer, where if they're doing something wrong, you can see them in the grocery store, you can see them in the town meeting, and you can give them a piece of your mind. You can't do that to the big tobacco executives, and even if you did, I don't think they'd care.
Well, again, the bill we're referring to, it's got a lot of authorizations in it. It clarifies the home cultivation of marijuana for personal use. As I understand it, if you're 21 or older, you can grow and harvest marijuana up to 6 mature marijuana plants, up to 12, and an unlimited number of seedlings on a parcel of land owned by the person. I get lost in all of the nomenclature here. What does it authorize, really? How much pot can you grow?
So right now, you can grow up to 6 flowering plants. What LD 1719 do is that cuts that in half, so you can only grow three flowering plants. And so that's something that's really going to negatively harm rural Maine. Because I think, as most of us know, we don't have a lot of space to try to have some fancy indoor, you know, cultivation closet. A lot of people who grow their cannabis, especially in the 2nd Congressional District, and I think a lot of your listeners, they grow it outside and we get one growing season. And for a lot of people, three plants is not going to be enough to make sure that they're supplied throughout the year so they can have their own home grown. This is an effort to force them to go and purchase it from a corporate entity.
Paul McCarrier of Legalize Maine, our guest here, as we look at the marijuana bill that could be voted out as early as perhaps today or at least this week. A listener wants us to ask you, there's still the specter of Washington stepping in and saying, okay, we're going to toss the whole thing out because we find it federally illegal and states shouldn't do it. Do you think that's given lawmakers some cover, maybe dragging their heels on trying to kick out what's right for Maine, knowing that Washington might pull the carpet out from under from all of us?
I think that's some people's concern when they're looking at the commercial aspect of it, when they're looking at the actual commercial production and the commercial sale of it. But at the same time, I think some of those concerns could actually be valid because we're talking about in LD 1719 having an unlimited amount of commercial cannabis grown, an unlimited amount. It's in the law that says that the department shall impose no limitations on the number of each type of license or the total number of licenses at issue. So we're talking about any Tom, Dick, and Harry will be able to go in there and say, I want to grow 20,000 square feet of marijuana. Are we really expecting our regulators to try to regulate this new industry right out of the gate with thousands of people coming in and applying for this?
Well, that's exactly what voters said. I want marijuana taxed and regulated like alcohol. So I think people do expect all of these rules in place.
Right, but I can respect that. But at the same time, this is not like alcohol. You can sell alcohol over state lines legally. If you can't sell your alcohol in Maine, you can try to sell it in New Hampshire. You can't do that with cannabis.
Is there a feeling in the legislature, you deal with them all the time, that we wish this had never happened? Well, I don't want this on my desk to begin with.
Well, I think there's definitely some people that feel that way, and I think there's also just some general fatigue over the issue in general.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just feeling fatigued about it, and they just don't want to deal with it anymore. But we're hoping that they'll take a chance and look at the policy and look at the negative negative effects if this policy comes to pass. It's early.
Yeah, honestly, you're doing a fantastic job of wrapping your mind around an issue and sticking with it. That's stamina that some people don't have. I mean, listeners may be tiring of it. It's not that we're tiring of it, but we got to imagine that lawmakers are. Even as we are, and I'll use my words, not anyone else's, even as we are dragging our heels, how much revenue do you think has slipped by us?
I think so far the state's missed a good $10 million worth of revenue, and that's a fairly middle-of-the-road estimate. You know, that would be if we got the market up and running by, I would say, the beginning, by the middle of last year. But again, that would be a very, very fast, implementation timeline. And I think that there's still hope that we can try to look to get a market up and running by July 1st of next year.
Does it all come down to money, really? Just Rick brings up the money aspect of it. Do we not care about the side effects? Are we just worried about the money?
Well, some people are very concerned about the side effects, and I definitely understand those people's concerns. And we tried to work with the committee to craft a bill that would address some of those concerns. And unfortunately, I don't think all of those concerns were addressed. And other people, they just want to see the money. They just think that this is a market that already exists, and that the state should be able to get their cut from it.
Best bet, what do you see happening this week with this marijuana bill, and what are the steps to follow, Paul?
So the steps that are going to follow is that it has to be voted on in the House and the Senate. It'll be interesting to see if they can garner enough support to enact this as an emergency measure, which would be 2/3 of the House and the Senate, and then we'll see what the governor decides to do. And I think at this point, a lot of it is resting on what the governor decides he thinks is the best way to move forward with this.
Want to take a bet on any of this? Because it seems
I would not take a bet on that.
It just seems like you are outlining a whole lot of flaming hoops in which this needs to jump in order for this to be settled before Augusta decides to adjourn.
That is true, and that's one of those things where even whether this passes or fails, there's still going to have to be time to be considered to draft the rules, and because the rules are major substantive, they're going to have to come back and be reviewed by the next legislature. So we're not out of the woods yet.
Now, it sounds like a long road, to be honest with you. I don't know how we ended up screwing this up so bad, but we did.
unfortunately, a lot of it comes down to the fact that I think that the legislature never gave the chance for the administration to write the rules. The legislature had constantly gone back and said, let's try to change the law here, let's try to change the law there, let's try to change the law here. Instead of saying, here is the law, as modified by the passed by the people and modified by the legislature, and now let's see if the administration will write the rules. But instead, they said they wanted to constantly try to modify this. And I think as us insiders know, but just for the general public, is that you cannot write rules if the statute is in flux, because the rules have to reflect the statute. So in a lot of ways, this burden of why this hasn't been up and running yet lies in the legislature.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.